Are you working on your author career but struggling to get that first book published? Does the goal of being an author seem too lofty? Or are thoughts of having multiple books and making a full-time living are as fantastical as living in Cinderella's castle? Welcome to Discovered Wordsmiths, a podcast where aspiring authors can be heard. Join Stephen Schneider as he finds and talks to authors you may not know, but authors that have gotten their foot on the author career path. Hear what they've done to get there and where they want to go now. Settle back. It's time for a bit of inspiration and advice. Come listen to today's Discovered Wordsmith.
Okay, Michelle, welcome back to Discovered Wordsmiths. Good to have you back again. I always joke about that.
Thank you.
We cut it into two episodes, but you know, we took a 2-second break. This time, instead of talking about your books, we're going to talk about writing and stuff with publishing, the actual business end of it. So before we get into our topic about editing and how frustrating it can be, let me ask you, because you've written several books and you've written several teen books, and then you changed and wrote more adult, kind of a romance book, but not in your typical romance genre or typical feel. But what were some things you've learned from the first time you wrote the first book to when you've written this latest book? Some things that you might have even done differently.
Wow. There actually has been so much I've learned. Her Sanctuary, His Heart, the one that's actually being published now, was my very first book I wrote. I wrote it in the first person point of view. And then afterwards, while I'm in my reading, I discovered that you don't write an adult romance in the first person point of view. It has to be in the third person point of view. So I had to rewrite the entire book in the third person point of view, but it was good because then it got accepted by the publisher in the third person point of view, which I was very grateful for. Also, I've learned, you know, it's so easy to sit down and type the first draft, you know, because it kind of like, When you're new at the authoring game, it's kind of like everything just flows. Well, for me, it flows. Those first three books came so easy. I won't say the next three came so easy because they didn't. I had to actually, but as I've learned the craft, I've learned how to plot better, make better scenes, make better sequences, make better pieces relevant to the story. With my first books, I put a kind of, there was a lot of narrative in them that needed to be kind of shown, not told. And it's learning that showing and telling. Definitely, I've learned that. And also, how well-placed questions can kind of expand your story into a way that you never thought it would be possible. And as a new writer, I think that was so, you know, I've read lots in my life. I'm a huge fan of reading. And so that kind of inspired me to write, but it doesn't give you the ammunition, if you can put it like that, for you to be able to write. You've got to learn your craft.
It is totally different writing the words than reading them. And even if you read something, you're like, okay, I'm going to write like this. When you actually get to writing it down, you're like, yeah, that, and then someone else will read it, and it's like, yeah, that's not even close. And you're like, oh, you're right, I see it, you know. Yeah, I agree.
Well, I had to. I read a lot of books and attended a lot of kind of free video conferences. I even took a writing course to kind of just put the pieces of a story together and help me to kind of work the story, work it to its best advantage, expand and reach into all the areas of my characters to find out more about them. And I had to learn that. I've done a lot of research about writing, about plotting, about scenes, about characters, about wants, needs, what these characters are going on, and what kind of message you're trying to transmit in your story. But where's your heart? You know, what is that story supposed to reach? And I think that's something that I've learned definitely from when I first wrote a teen book, which was the first one I released, until now. There's been so much growth in myself as a writer because there's so much you have to learn. If, even about publishing, there's so much you have to learn. And it's not always just as simple as the articles that they put on the internet.
Right. I've been getting some coaching lately, and we've been focusing a lot on my prose. And as he said, making it sparkle.
Yes.
He says, you're writing conversational language. That's the way we would talk, but it comes out clunky in a book. You want to write sparkly prose. And gave me some examples, and it like opened my eyes and my mind. I'm like, oh man, I see it now. I get it. When people say, oh, show, don't tell, you're like, oh yeah, I am doing that. But you really have to write more. And I think, and I've discovered this, and I've tried to explain to others that, because you said your first book wasn't the first book you released, that you went back to it later. Mm-hmm. And I've done kind of the same thing. And I think people start writing one book and they're like, well, this has to be my book. I have to be the bestseller with this book. It has to be the great American novel or great Canadian novel. And they put, years and effort into that first book, but almost no author writes their first book and it's really that good. There's so few that do that. So I agree. I found you've got to write and learn and move on and get to the next thing. Yeah. And it's hard to explain how to make your prose so it's show, not tell. And I'm reading a book about that right now that's really good.
Yeah.
And it is a tough subject because there's not a lot out there to help with that. So when you're writing, what software and services do you like to use or do you use?
Well, my first three books were written on Microsoft Word, just basic Microsoft Word. My first two novels were edited also just on Microsoft Word. I use Scrivener, I think it's how you pronounce it. I use it that now. I can't say I am a whiz at it. I'm really not. I'm still learning the program as it goes. I used WildWriter for a while. I wrote two of my my ones submitted to the publisher. I wrote two of mine on WildWriter, and I found WildWriter very user-friendly, but then I had an issue with the backup, and so that's why I decided to move to Scrivener. I think software is good. I use Grammarly as well to help me. That's why I run it usually with my Microsoft Word program. But other than that, not really. That's pretty much all I use.
Okay. And we were going to talk about editing. And we were just talking a little bit about, you mentioned writing the first draft, and then each of us, we've written a book, kind of put it aside and moved on to something else. They keep going. So what do you find with editing to be the hard part, the frustrating part? Why was that the topic you wanted to discuss?
Well, for me, the first time I went through the editing with a professional editor, I was working with Ambassador, and she took out so much of my story, I nearly had a fit. I couldn't believe it. And I'm like, what are you doing? I printed out the copy that she sent back to me, and there were all these red lines, and I was just completely overwhelmed. I didn't even know where to start. When I looked at my manuscript, and it was like a bloodbath, and I thought, wow, I must be a terrible writer for this to be. And I really kudos to my editor. She was really great. She was kind of like a mentor to me as we went through the editing process. And she prodded places and took out stuff and asked me to put in stuff and kind of waited for explanation, because I find with myself, when I type, a lot more is going on here than is going on here.
Yes.
And so it doesn't always get from here to here fast enough.
That's funny. That's exactly what I've discovered about myself too. And I didn't realize it sometimes.
Yeah. So with my editor, she kind of like, you start a thought here and three paragraphs later, we still haven't gotten to the end of the thought because we have no idea where the thought has gone. So I'm like, okay, yeah, for sure. So for me, that it was a very frustrating, because a lot of my story was taken out, and I thought to myself, but these are really, really important pieces that need to be in the story. And as we worked through the various drafts, as we went through the various steps of editing, how my editor assisted me in creating the best story I could. And so for me, it was quite frustrating each time she would get back to me, and there'd be another huge section that I thought, wow, but it's very important to be in. And as the story came together and we got to the end of the story, it was like, wow, the story looks so, the story is true to how I put it, but it's so much better explained. The ideas I wanted to get across in it are so much better. It's just that the picture is so much better. And although the process was very frustrating, I mean, like with my teen book that I also had it re-edited and redone, going through that was also a huge thing. When she first sent me, she sent me like 6 pages of notes. And I was like, now where the heck am I supposed to start? How am I going to get through this? And she said to me, you know what? Just sit down, work through it one chapter at a time. And it was just having someone say to me, okay, kind of take this approach with it and just sit down and think about it carefully as you go through it step by step. You know, the 6 pages of notes are not so daunting when you look at it 3 sentences at a time. And so for me, the editing process particularly is one of my challenges when it comes to writing. As I said, writing a book is easy. The editing is not the
Now, when you were looking through over the notes and getting the information from the editor, and I'm assuming as you went through this process and you've done it a couple times, you feel like you've gotten better. I'm assuming you've worked at it and you're not doing the same things. Did you find at the beginning that, oh, it looks like I made 100 mistakes, but it's like 10 of them I do 3 different times?
Yes, repetitively. Absolutely. So there were a lot of instances where she would say, show this, don't tell it. And a lot of instances where she's like, you've done an info load. I don't think we need an info load now. We need this. And just... And I felt I've learned because the second book I released, the When the Stars Align, it also, as I said, it's also gone back to the publisher now. It's getting re-edited. But when I wrote the third or fourth draft of that book, the publisher looked at the first page and he said, wow. And I was like, wow, for a publisher to come back and say, wow, on your first page, that it from what I had written to how it had been rewritten a couple of drafts later, is what the journey I had gone on from working with my first professional editor, understanding the mistakes I was making and how I could improve my writing so that there was more showing than telling, but more insight into the characters. How could I make an impact on those first couple of sentences that would say to the reader, okay, read me further. I have to know what happens next. And that, I think, is something also that I've learned through that editing process, because I find myself, when I write, I think to myself, okay, in this book, my editor told me this. Should I relook at this now and think, okay, what did the editor say you should rather do instead of doing this? And I think that has grown me also as a writer.
Yeah, I agree. And I think one thing I think a lot of authors, and I don't think I've done this, but you know, I could have, is that they concentrate so much on their first chapter, their first paragraph and couple lines, and they change it, they edit it, they refine it, they put all this work into it, and it gets good. Mm-hmm. It's like, wow, this is great. But then they don't do as much editing on the rest of the book because it's a little overwhelming.
Yeah.
And so people will read the first chapter, but then never finish the book.
Yeah.
So I for me, I was really upset, nervous, scared when I got back my first edited anything. Like you said, oh my gosh, that's good. And it's just all these lines and notes. And I'm like, it was like 20 pages of notes. So I was like, oh man, I can't even think about this. So I literally put it away for a month before I could get my mind wrapped around it. Mm-hmm. What I'm finding now, the process that works for me is sit down and get the story out. Get that first draft done as quick as I can, buzz through it. Don't worry about the words. Don't worry about whether it sounds clunky, because it will. The way I write, it sounds clunky, but I get the story out because then I free myself and I can focus on the minute pieces. I get the whole forest down and then I worry about making sure each tree looks good instead of worrying about every tree, but I don't even have the story yet. That seems to, so I enjoy editing now, actually. Yeah. You know, because that's where my story comes out and shines, I think.
I find with writing the first draft that I often need, the first draft comes out very easily. It usually does. It takes me maybe a month and a half to write the first draft. My books aren't 60,000 words, so 40,000 words in a month is not bad. But a lot of the time I will have to put that book aside for 6, maybe 8 months and come back to it, reread it, and then rewrite it from scratch. And I find it sounds like a very long process, and I know a lot of writers don't do this, but for me, I found that I can then look at the story objectively because it's no longer sitting here in my mind. It's out, it's on paper, it's right there, and I can now look at it and think, okay, did I get the message across I wanted to in this draft? Did I put everything in places? Are there things I can change? Are there other things I need to add? Do my characters make sense? Do the sequence of events make sense? All of those things, but it takes me a really long time to kind of see those things. So for me, it's better that the book go away for a long time where it's completely out of my mind and then bring it back and think, okay, how can I now make this better?
Right. I agree. I've definitely have found if I don't get the whole story out, if I try and focus on the first couple chapters, all my brain's thinking about is the rest of the story and finishing it and writing this, and I could do that, you know, so I've got to get that done. And then I'm much more relaxed. Mm-hmm. The other thing, you said you read a whole bunch of books, writing books, you know, we all have. I'm assuming, have you read On Writing by Stephen King?
No, I actually haven't. Even though Jerry Jenkins recommends that one, I honestly haven't read it. I am a big fan of the Snowflake Method.
Randy Ingermanson.
Ingermanson. I find that method works most conducively with my train of thought. Kind of have the broad picture of what your book is doing and then kind of break it down and break it down and break it down. And for me, I found planning a book, I'm still not great at plotting. I'm a terrible plotter. I'm a planter, if you can put it like that. I prefer to write by the seat of my pants. But I found that if I kind of get a broad summary of the story down, it makes it a lot easier for me to write it. Then I know where the progression is coming in the story. I also find if I plan too much, then the story becomes boring to me and I leave it aside and then I work on something else. So I have to find my balance about how to plot and pants and how we go forward.
Yeah, I agree. Well, in On Writing, and I know we've talked about clean books and stuff, there is swearing in that one. So I'll warn you that if you ever do pick it up. But the more important part to this discussion is at the end, he actually gives I think it's the 1408 story. He says, here's what I wrote, and here's the marks that my editor put in. The crossing out, the moving. And looking at that, it's like, wow, even Stephen King, who's been writing for like 50 years, you know, he takes what he's written and his editor is still marking things off. So to me, that was like, you know, you're not an idiot. You really can write. And just because it's not perfect in a first draft doesn't matter. So that helped a lot. And I know I think J.K. Rowling put out a sheet I've seen floating around the internet with Chamber of Secrets, I think. And she has a grid with all the characters and then all the scenes and what the characters are doing in that scene. It's a whole handwritten out note. That helped a lot too, because I'm like, oh, now I can picture that story and use that with my own writing a bit.
Okay. I haven't seen that, but that sounds helpful for sure.
I like examples like that, templates that I can then use for my own. And I did read the Snowflake Method myself. And I said, yeah, I am already doing this, kind of.
Great.
And another reaffirming thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, there's also another book I use predominantly. I mean, I write romance. It's one of the theme that kind of goes through every single book I've written. And there's a lady called Gail Hayes that wrote Romancing the Beat. And she also has a template about the various beats that you hit in a romance story. And I also found that very helpful because in a lot of books, they're kind of just looking at one protagonist, where in a romance, you're looking at two. And this template that she uses pinpoints to female protagonist, male protagonist, and how everything goes through the story, and how the various beats that you need to hit in a romance story meets up with the characters. And I found that very helpful personally for me to read a book like that. I mean, it's a tiny little book, probably take you about maybe half an hour, depending on how fast you read, to get through it. But just those, having the two perspectives, the two protagonists in the book, and how to work those two together in the story has been really beneficial, I think, also for me as a writer.
I've been reading the Save the Cat book, which a lot of people recommend. And I'm actually glad I didn't read it before, because it's making a lot more sense to me now. I've got a little bit of writing under my belt, and that helps a lot with understanding. And I think, again, I've discovered this by making this mistake, so I've told others, don't worry about getting 500 books on craft and writing. Maybe get one, read it, but sit down and write. Write a couple short stories. Write your whole novel. Just write it. Don't worry about editing it. Don't worry about going back with the details. Get a lot of writing, because then when you read the craft books, they make more sense, because you have these examples that you've written that you can refer to. And then when you go back and read your own stuff, you can see what they were talking about. So the Save the Cat talks about the beats, like the romancing. So very similar.
I've read that one too.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. I read a lot, as I said.
So did you find that the romancing the beat was very similar to Save the Cat? Like maybe they took focused it?
I found romancing the beat more user-friendly. I think maybe it could be the genre that I'm writing. You know, I did read Save the Cat, and to me it was quite confusing, possibly because I read it very early in my writing career. But honestly, Romancing the Beat, as soon as I had, I'd already written two books by the time I read Romancing the Beat, it made a lot more sense to me.
Got it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let me ask you, Michelle, your books, I know you've gone through Ambassador Publishing. What are you doing to get the word out, to market the book?
Social media. So I'm busy loading. I've got Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, a web page. I'm also doing a Bookstagram tour in August. And Ambassador is holding a Christmas in July campaign, which will be happening later on in July. And my book is also put in for that.
Nice. Good. Okay. Your teen books, what were some of the things you did to get the word out for those?
Oh, well, my first two teen books were written indie, so I wasn't with Ambassador at that stage. With them, I used Story Origin a lot, book funnel swaps.
Okay.
I did a couple of, I used Faith Reads. I can't remember. It's like a newsletter. I think it's Faith Reads. That you sign up for, and it goes out with their newsletter. So that kind of marketing was done, and I used social media, but a lot of book swaps. So through group swaps, particularly campaign swaps, newsletter swaps, those kind of things.
Okay. All right. So before we go, and it's been a great discussion with you about editing. Hopefully some people feel a little more comfortable with editing. But let me ask you, do you have any last words of advice for new authors?
One piece of advice I got as a new writer was sit down and write your book. But honestly, I read this. I have a kind of a poster next to my writing desk that Neil Gaiman wrote. And one of the things he says there is don't take yourself too seriously. And I find that was kind of like a good thing, because when you're new in the writing field, you wonder, you know, every writer talks about imposter syndrome, and I think we all have it, and we think to yourself, why on earth, even coming to this interview, my husband said to me, aren't you excited? And I said, well, who cares what I have to say? kind of thing. But it is sit down and write your book, but don't take yourself too seriously. There's going to be disappointments, but you know, it's a learning curve. Writing is a learning curve. Everything I've learned is only since I started writing. I didn't know anything of the stuff I know now about publishing, about writing, about scene structure, about marketing, about presentation, about anything until I actually started writing. And yes, research is good, but going through the process for you is far better, because you need to, you can read 100 articles about what it's like to be a writer, what it's like to be published, what it's like to be edited. But until you've actually experienced it, it's something very different. So I think for new writers, yes, go through the process and don't take yourselves too seriously.
I like that. Thank you. yes. And that's actually one of the things, reasons I wanted to do this podcast is because I'm on some of the web Facebook groups, there's a lot of people that say, "Hey, let me tell you, I've had so much success. I've made $100,000 in the first 3 months of this year. I've got 25 books and on," which is great because people are like, "Oh, it's so inspirational." And I started feeling like, no, it's not. It's making me feel worse because there's no way I don't feel like I will ever be good enough to make that much money or to have that many books. And it was almost discouraging more than encouraging. So that's why I wanted to do the podcast for new authors, the authors who aren't making 100,000 in 3 months, who don't have 25 books out, to get out there, because the only people you ever hear on podcasts and interviews are the ones that are extremely out there and seen and, you know, all that. Yeah. So I wanted to have an opportunity for something different. Hopefully some people are following it and reading some of these new books and helping the authors, or if nothing else, at least when the author goes on another interview, they're like, "Oh yeah, I've already done one, so we're good." So that's, you know, also a benefit.
Absolutely, yes. I think it's quite.
Well,
it's
Michelle.
I think it's quite daunting.
No, go ahead. It's
quite daunting. Yes. Most authors are introverts and they don't generally like to talk about themselves. yeah, I'm one of those, hands down.
Right.
I think it's a huge thing to be able to put yourself out there and kind of just go, all right, whatever happens, happens.
Right. I agree. All right. Well, Michelle, this has been a really great talk. I appreciate you taking some time and chatting with me today on the podcast.
Well, thank you very much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to Discovered Wordsmiths. Come back next week and listen to another author discuss the road they've traveled, and maybe, sometime in the near future, it might be you.